This morning we've had the great joy and privilege already of participating in the act of worship of a mother and father bringing their child and presenting him unto the Lord. We dedicated Case, and in doing so, Clay and Kaylee made a holy commitment to bring up Case in the fear and admonition of the Lord to the best of their ability. And then as a body of Christ, we also pledged to partner with them in that endeavor. It's a symbolic gesture that is overflowing with depth and significance. And it's a fitting act for parents who profess to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. It's an act of worship for sure. But also it's an incredible act of selfless love toward the child. Have you thought of that? See, we referenced during the dedication the actions of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Hannah was a devout woman who loved and trusted God, and in her heart, her greatest desire was to be blessed with a son. She loved her child even before she conceived him. She loved him so much that she gave him to the Lord. In the dedication of Samuel, we see her dedication to Samuel. It's in this act that we see lessons for us today, exemplified by a mother's dedication. So as we observe this day as Mother's Day, we recognize, as we've said before, all those who serve as motherly figures to us. For some, this is a difficult day. Some here are mothers who have lost children to untimely death, maybe. Others may be children of beloved mothers gone on to be with the Lord. Still others are mothers with wayward children, or even women who would love to be mothers but have not been blessed with the gift of children. And in any of these cases, this day can be difficult or even painful because of the memories and yearnings stirred by the occasion. I know that from experience, because as faithful as my mother was to take us to church after her mother passed, she just couldn't go to church on Mother's Day. It can be a difficult day, but nevertheless, in His divine wisdom, God has given all of mankind a wonderful gift through womanhood. The maternal nature placed in women by God's design is a blessing to all of us. Whether we're biologically related to them or not, all of us have benefited at some time in some way from the maternal and loving nature of women in our lives, be they school teachers, coaches, neighbors, or the women of our church here. I thank God for mothers. For the one I had through my own birth, and also for the scores of other women who have shown me motherly love and concern through the years. I thank God for you. Hannah was acquainted with the struggles of pain and disappointment. For years, she was unable to have a child. She had a doting and loving husband, but she wanted to know the blessing of a child also. Infertility was seen in those days as a scourge from God, a mark of His displeasure. So she had to bear the unwarranted scorn, both silent and spoken, of the people around her. And in that culture, polygamy was normalized. And even though Hannah was favored by her husband, she had to suffer as her rival, another wife, bore him children and used that fact to mock her and make her miserable. Hannah knew pain. She knew the sting of temptation toward bitterness. She knew what it is to regret years that she feared were wasted. But she also knew that God is faithful. She trusted the Lord. And because she trusted the Lord, God blessed her faithfulness. Now, we may not all experience the same type of blessing that Hannah enjoyed. I'm not trying to say that all those who wish to be mothers will necessarily be granted children simply because you trust the Lord. That type of hope would betray one's true motivations. See, the focal point of the story is not the blessing Hannah received, but rather the faithfulness that preceded the blessing. Hannah didn't trust in God simply in order to be granted a child. She trusted God, period. And because she trusted Him, God, in His mercy, healed her barrenness and gave her a child. We all can learn a lesson from Hannah's example today. Hannah was a godly woman, a godly mother. And as the people of God, we should all strive for godliness. As mothers or maternal figures in the lives of young people today, women who claim to follow the Lord should strive for godliness. And men of God should be leading their families in the same. So let's look to part of Hannah's story to see some hallmarks, some distinguishing characteristics of this godly woman and mother. If you want to turn with us, we'll be reading from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel in the first chapter, beginning with verse 20 and reading through verse 28. Now, we're not going to take the time today to look at the whole story from the beginning, but let me give you a brief rundown so you'll know the context. A man named Elkanah has two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Elkanah loves Hannah and hates to see her upset. He grieves over her grief, asking her, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now at this time, the tabernacle of the Lord is in Shiloh, not in Jerusalem yet. But even then, Hebrew men still made a yearly pilgrimage to the tabernacle to make offerings and to worship. And on one of these yearly trips, Hannah went to the tabernacle and cried out to God. She made a vow to Him. If only He would grant her a son. She prayed so earnestly in her heart that even though no words formed, her lips were moving. And the priest Eli thought she was probably drunk. Well, after she finished praying, the priest bade her to go in peace, and she went away, and the Bible says her face was no longer sad. You know, that in itself should be a lesson for us, because the Bible tells us to cast all our cares on the Lord, for He cares for us. Hannah cast her cares on the Lord, and even though she did not yet have an answer to her prayer, even though she had no guarantee that she would receive what she had asked, she knew the Lord had heard her. She trusted that God knew her heart and that He was in control. With God in control of the situation, there was no longer any reason for her to be sad or worried. The same is true for us today. So do you have that same kind of assurance? Do you cast all your cares on the Lord? Or do you simply tell Him about them and then pick them back up and take them with you again? I'm afraid that's what many of us do, myself included. We are to cast them on Him, to trust Him, and leave them in His care, as did Hannah. The old song says it well, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So there's one lesson. But anyway, that brings us to where we read. So as you're able, would you stand in reverence for the reading of the divinely inspired Word of God this morning as we read from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 20 through 28. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish His word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word today, and we pray, Lord, that as we look into this scripture, that by your Spirit, Lord, you would open our eyes and cause us to see truth. Lord, speak through me today and cause us all, Lord, to grow in godliness. Challenge us, convict us, encourage us. Build us up, Lord, to be the people of God that you desire for us to be. By your word, sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth, Lord. And we'll thank you and we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise as you work among us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So quickly today, I'd like for us to look at six distinguishing characteristics of a godly woman that we see from Hannah's example. And while the context is for women and mothers, there are practical applications for all of us as we strive for godliness and faithfulness in our lives. Let's all strive toward each of these. But also, let's thank God for the maternal figures in our lives who have modeled one or more of these characteristics for us, thereby demonstrating God's glory and ultimately pointing us toward Himself. Women such as these are a large part of the reason that we're even blessed to be here today, and we owe them a debt of thanks. But the first thing we see is that a godly mother recognizes children as a gift from God. A godly mother recognizes children as a gift from God. Notice in both verses 20 and 27. In verse 20, she names her son Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." And in verse 27, she says, "The Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him." Now see, in contrast to our godless society today, where children are often viewed as inconveniences or mere biological byproducts, those who are godly recognize that children are a gift from the Lord, a stewardship entrusted to us out of His bounty. Psalm 24, as we said before, opens with these words, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Everything that exists, including all people, including ourselves, belong to the Lord. It's all His. And out of His goodness and bounty, He gives to us. Psalm 127 proclaims, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are a gift from God. Sometimes unexpected, but always a blessing. Jessica and I can tell you about that. Matthew was unexpected. But oh, what a little delightful little surprise he is. We wouldn't trade him because he's a gift from God. All children are a gift from God, a source of love flowing toward us and a soul through which we can direct our love. Children are an opportunity to perpetuate our godly heritage of worship and thankfulness. They are a gift entrusted to us. Faithful and godly people recognize that truth and act accordingly. Do you treasure your children? Or the children that God has given this church? Are we treating them like inconveniences, or do we recognize them as gifts from His gracious hand? The second thing we see is that a godly mother remembers her vows. In verse 22, we learn that a godly mother remembers her vows. In verse 11, prior to our passage, Hannah made a vow. In seeking the gift of a child, Hannah said to the Lord, "If you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." She made a vow. She made a solemn promise. Now, in our current day and age, promises come cheap, don't they? Many make promises lightly with no intention of keeping them. There was a time when a man's or a woman's word was their bond. But those days are long since gone, and now it seems that legal documents must be drafted to enforce even the tiniest of provisions or promises. But in verse 22, Hannah declines to go to the tabernacle, saying, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." Hannah remembered her vow. She also recognized that it may be delayed until an appropriate time, but she knew that it must be paid. She did not forget. See, a godly person remembers the promises they make, particularly to God. Many are the souls who plead with God under the power of Holy Spirit conviction, and they promise, "Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you call me or lead me to do." Unfortunately, many also are the souls who too often forget that promise or try to wriggle out of it. A vow made to the Lord is a holy and a solemn oath. And a godly person remembers the vows they make to the Lord and does everything in their power to fulfill it. Have you made vows to the Lord or to others in the sight of God? Are you keeping them? The third thing we see in this passage is that a godly mother does what only she can do for as long as she can do it. We just saw that in verse 22, Hannah declined to take Samuel to the tabernacle until he is weaned. Then in verse 24, we read the short phrase, "Now when she had weaned him." Only a mother can nurse a child. There are things that only a mother can do for a child. Y'all know that, right? Jess and I have had this chat often. I can and should do whatever I can, but there are some things that only a mother can do. I couldn't nurse our babies. I simply was not equipped for that. But it's not just that. As much as my little boys love their daddy, at least for this season, it seems that they still need mama just a little bit more. When they're hurt, or when something scares them in the night, they don't call out for daddy. They cry for mama. William pads into our room in the night to lay with us for a while, pretty much every night. But he never comes to my side of the bed. In fact, he has to walk past me to go around to get to mama because he wants mama. That's just the way it is. There are certain things that only a mother can do. But that's true for all of us. Each of us has a gifting, a skill, a calling on our lives for use in the Lord's kingdom. Each of us who is saved has a job to do that only we can do. Peter compares us to stones in a structure, saying, "Coming to him," that is Jesus, "as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." See, every brick, every stone in a building plays an important part in the structure of the whole. Now, some may seem more foundational or appear to be more weight-bearing, but each stone is necessary to join them all together. Take away one stone and the entire structure is vulnerable. The entire building lacks integrity. Each stone has a unique role, a part to play that only it can play. And that's you and I in the Lord's church, friends. We all have a part to play. You may think that you don't have a responsibility or that you don't have much to offer, but I tell you this, your presence and your service here is crucial to all of us because we are a body. And just like a missing brick makes a structure vulnerable, a missing bone makes the whole body weak. A missing limb inhibits function. A missing organ risks the health of the whole. There is a job to do in the kingdom that only you can do. And a godly person, like Hannah, is faithful to do that which only he or she can do for as long as he or she is able. Are you doing your part? The fourth thing that we see is that a godly mother teaches her child about reverence and worship. There's an interesting observation to make in verse 28. The final phrase of our passage simply says, "So they worshiped the Lord there." But it pays us to look at the original language. The Hebrew word translated worshiped is not actually that simple. It's a reflexive verb form, meaning that the action is performed on oneself. And the word means to prostrate or to bow down. So this isn't worship in the sense that they were singing songs. This was an act of humble adoration and bowing oneself in reverence. And then the verb in our translation is plural. But in the Hebrew, it's in masculine singular form. In other words, it's not they, but rather he. The Hebrew actually says that he, the child Samuel, bowed himself before the Lord. So the question arises, how did Samuel, a small child, just weaned, how did he know to bow himself in reverence and worship before the Lord in this way? And the obvious answer is that he was taught by the woman who weaned him. Even in his formative years, this child was taught to reverence God in his holiness and to humbly worship him. In society today, children are too often allowed to lead. Parents are counseled by the culture not to teach and lead, but rather to befriend and advocate. Children are taught to follow their hearts and do what feels right. In other words, they're conditioned to become proud and self-serving rather than humble and reverent. But a godly individual knows what it is to be reverent and worshipful. And godly individuals teach the same to the next generation. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, God commands his people, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Proverbs 22:6 that we talked about earlier, it gives us this guide for life. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So here's the question. Are we teaching our children, both those in our own households and those with whom we have influence in other venues? Are we teaching them to reverence and to worship the Lord? Are we teaching them with words? But more than that, are we teaching them by the example that we set? The fifth thing we notice is that a godly mother continues to offer support and encouragement to her child throughout his or her life. Looking beyond our passage just a little bit, in chapter 2, we catch a snippet of Hannah's relationship with Samuel after she left him at the tabernacle. In verses 18 and 19 we read, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." And we read that, it kind of drums up pictures. You can imagine this cute little boy in a cute little linen ephod doing his thing, you know, lighting the candles on the altar or whatnot. It's real cute to think about. But one thing that many of us know from experience is that as much as we would like sometimes for time to stand still, it doesn't. That little boy in that linen ephod, the next year when she came back, that little linen ephod wasn't fitting quite the same, was it? The little ones God gives us grow, and they eventually branch out. There eventually comes a time when we simply have to let go and entrust our children to the Lord. But you never stop being a mother. You never stop being a father. You never stop loving that young soul that you've mentored, taught, or coached. And even though chapters may end and new chapters begin, letting go does not equal giving up. A godly person continues to offer support and encouragement to children throughout their lives. Hannah had given Samuel to the Lord. In paying her vow, she left him at the tabernacle to serve the Lord for the rest of his days. That's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand why she would do that, but it's in the Bible, so we know that it's true. Even though we can't fathom doing that ourselves, she paid her vow. She did what only she could do for as long as she could in weaning him, and then she let him go. But she didn't forget him. The Bible tells us that as he grew, she continued to provide robes for him each year so that he would have what was needful for him to continue his ministry, so that the little linen ephod wasn't up to his chest. She kept making him what he needed. Her token action was both material support and also moral encouragement that the boy was still loved and still treasured even as he continued in his service. Now keep in mind, that's not the same as enabling sinfulness or sloth. Unfortunately, there are far too many cases in our society today where children would sometimes be better served if they were just financially cut off or sent away for the sake of their own souls. But so long as a child, no matter what age they are, is growing in the Lord and serving in kingdom ministry, it is right and good for godly people to continue to offer support and encouragement through both intangible and material means. This is part of the goal of campus ministry sponsored through the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. They offer continuing spiritual support, fellowship, and guidance to Christian students during their collegiate years while they're away from homes and families. But this is also part of why it's the business of established churches to plant new churches. Our church recently voted to partner with and support a missionary in Belize. It's the Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Mission. Now, if you missed that meeting and are interested in the work of the ministry, I'd be happy to tell you about it another time. But the Lord is doing phenomenal work there. But while we are one partner, we're not the primary supporter. The missionary is Elder Monty Shoulders, and he's an ordained minister and member of Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church in Bethpage, Tennessee. And when the Lord laid this work on Brother Shoulders' heart, his church prayerfully got behind him and voted to support him. In other words, they let him go, but they didn't give up on him. They didn't give him up. Brother Shoulders has left the area. He left the country in order to faithfully follow and serve the Lord. But the godly people of Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church authorized a mission and continue to offer support and encouragement to him in the work. Much like Hannah supplied what was needful for Samuel as he ministered to the Lord, a godly people continuously ought to provide what is needful for the children of God that we send out as they continue in ministry. This is part of what missions giving is all about. But missionary support aside, how are we doing at offering continuous nurture and encouragement to the next generation among us as they grow and serve the Lord? And a final observation. A godly mother commits her child to the Lord. Verses 27 and 28 serve as the culmination of all these observations. And they quickly summarize the type of woman and mother that Hannah was. She says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." She starts out by saying, "For this child I prayed." Now certainly this entails Hannah's prayer to receive the child, but the statement is, I believe, purposely vague. Because certainly the prayers of this devout woman were not limited to simply receiving this child. When she says, "For this child I prayed," certainly it includes praying for the child's welfare, protection, guidance, and growth. In fact, the Hebrew word there is not a word of petition, as in simply asking for something. Rather, it means to intercede. To intercede. See, Hannah certainly asked to receive the blessing of a child, but she also stood in the gap to pray for Samuel, interceding with God on his behalf. A godly person intercedes for others in prayer, particularly those in the path of growth and guidance. And we publish a prayer list each week, but as I've prepared my heart for this message, I've been burdened as to why we don't include on our prayer list the names of all the children in our church. We need to be interceding for them. they have faced, do face, and will face so many challenges in life that they desperately need our prayers on their behalf. So can I challenge you to add our children to your personal prayer lists? Pray for them by name. When you see them next Sunday, will you be able to say, "For this child I prayed"? Parents, grandparents, are you intentional in praying for your children and grandchildren? They're a blessing from the Lord. So are you intentional to pray for their protection, for their guidance, for their soul's salvation? We must teach them to be reverent and worshipful, yes, but we can't save them. Only Jesus can. So when you kiss your child goodnight, can you say in all earnestness, "For this child I prayed"? We need to intercede for the children among us. And then in verse 28, she says that Samuel be lent to the Lord. Now that looks weird in English because we think of being lent as though he's given for a time with an expectation of a return and maybe with some interest paid on it, right? But in Hebrew, the sense of that word is more of being released to or given to the Lord. Hannah prayed to receive Samuel, but recognizing that he was a gift from the Lord, as a devout woman, she offered back to the Lord the best she had to offer, her son. She gave God the best she had. She committed him to the Lord. She recognized that hers was not a role of ownership, but of stewardship. Because everything belongs to the Lord. And we all have a purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. That is our purpose. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." A godly people recognizes this stewardship that we have, and we commend and commit everything to God's care and service, even our children. And this really knows no age or even biological distinction. Paul, in bidding farewell to the elders at the church of Ephesus, said in Acts 20, verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now, this was a church Paul helped establish. Many of the elders, and again, these were elders, these weren't young boys. Many of the elders were those both saved under his preaching and then trained under his teaching. He considered them his spiritual children. Yet knowing that he had done all he could do, he commended them and committed them to God's care and to God's service. We can't be everywhere with our children forever. We can't control all of their decisions. We can't think their thoughts for them. And we can't always make their decisions for them. At some point, we will have done all we can do for them. And we need to commend them and commit them to God. At the same time, through our teaching and also through our practice, that's part of how we commit them to God. In too many families, children are committed to sports teams, recreational activities, and other things. And nothing will tear them away from those commitments. But there's no such commitment to the service of God. In contrast to that, a godly people commits their own lives and their children first and foremost to the worship of and service to the Lord. Everything else should be secondary. Are we being intentional with how we commend and commit our children? It's a matter of trust. Who do we trust? Hannah trusted God. And so should we, because he's worthy of our trust. And the rewarding prospect in all of this is that we may never know the impact our actions or how our strides to be godly may be used by God in the future through our children. Hannah could have had no way of knowing that God would eventually call Samuel to be the last judge of Israel, and that he would ultimately be the prophet used by God to anoint David as king of Israel. That same David whose family line would give birth to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Likewise, we can't know how God may use our children in the future. But He knows the plans He has for us and for our children. See, we're not responsible for the results, just for our obedience. But because Hannah recognized that children are a gift from God, because she was faithful to remember and pay her vows, because she was faithful to do what only she could do for as long as she was able, because she was faithful to teach, both by word and example, a lifestyle of reverence and humble worship, because she continuously offered support and encouragement throughout her life, and because she prayed for her child and committed him to God, God used Samuel in powerful ways to further His kingdom. Do you desire the same for our children today? Mothers, grandmothers, also fathers and grandfathers? What about just expressing maternal and paternal care? Do we desire that for the children under our influence, that God would use them in mighty ways to impact the kingdom for all eternity? If so, let's learn from Hannah's example. She was a godly woman and mother. Let us likewise strive to be godly and so nurture a future generation that will serve God and further His kingdom for generations to come. Excuse me. As we prepare to sing a final song, I invite you to meditate on these things. Celebrate the godly women and mothers that are among us. We're so very blessed by their examples. But where we fall short, let us pray that the Lord will move us to be more godly, more like Christ in all that we do. Our altar is open today if the Lord's leading you to respond to the message in any way, or if you need to bring something to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you need to come and commend or commit yourself or a young person you love to the Lord. Whatever it is, let's stand together for a word of prayer and then we'll sing and just follow the Lord as He leads this morning, would you? Let's pray together. Father, again this morning, I thank You for the gracious gift of loving women among us. I thank You for their example. Lord, I thank You for the example of Hannah that we see in Your inspired and inerrant word. Lord, I pray that today we may all be challenged and also blessed, convicted but also encouraged as we strive to aim for more godliness in our lives. We want to be more like Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for those among us. I pray a blessing on those who have modeled these attributes for us. And I pray that You give them the grace and the strength to continue. And I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that where we fall short, You may build us up. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here today does not yet know You as the Savior of their souls, Lord, even though today's not been what many would call a salvation message, Lord, Your word doesn't return to You void. I pray by Your Spirit today You would convict, Lord, and that You would draw someone to Yourself and bring them to a place of repentance and surrender so that they may be saved for Your honor and for Your glory today, Lord. Be magnified in what we do, Lord. Have Your way among us. Continue to mold us into the likeness of Christ. Help us to be a godly generation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.